Blog Talk Radio.
And infuse us with the courage to do what is necessary to change. Dissolve the fear, dissolve the doubt, dissolve the resistance, dissolve the feelings of undeservedness. Let us stand and feel the absolute, knowing that all is well, all is well. Let us stand and feel your presence. Let the illumination of your grace fill us. Let us step into the dream that you have for our lives. Let us surrender to you, God. Let us resonate with the wholeness, perfectness, and completeness of the divine I am. And if there is anything missing from this prayer, please take it out of our consciousness and put it on thy altar seat and make it manifest to your divine will. And I say this through the consciousness of Christ. Amen, Ashe, and so it is.
Amen. Amen. Whew. Thank you so much, Eileen. Thank you so much. Let us know how to reach you.
Yes, you can reach me through healingparadigms.com. That's healingparadigms.com. Or you can reach me through Facebook. That's Arlene Kahet. The last name is spelled K-A-H-E-T. Or you can give me a call at area code 973-885-6930.
Wow. Do you have anything special going on that you want to tell us about?
Yeah. This week will be the last week that Reverend Harvey is going to be on One Love, One Connection, One Us. And please, please, please feel free to come by and listen this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. And the name of the show is, let's see, I think everything to do with the things that we've taught. There's a right and a wrong way to love. Which do you choose? And the telephone number for that show is area code 646-929-0630. And please, please come and let's send Harvey a happy send-off.
Oh, wow. Where is he going?
He is actively pursuing the profession of coaching independently for relationship coaching. And so, yeah, he decided that he wanted to go ahead and really focus in on that, and he decided to leave the show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mhm.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're definitely going to be sending him love, and he's definitely a great relationship coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But you will still be doing the show, you?
Yes, I will still be doing the show.
Oh. Okay. Good. Okay. All right. Well, thank you again, and we really appreciate. I really needed that. It made me feel so relaxed this morning. I was feeling a little anxiety for some reason this morning.
Well, you know, that thing with Blog Talk, it'll work itself out. No worries. Yeah, and you can actually upload.
We're on Blog Talk now. We're on Blog Talk now.
Oh, all right. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Something was going on with the computer. It wouldn't let us get in. Every time you try to go in, it said it wasn't uploading something. I don't know. So when it did upload it, just let me know, and I tuned in to it and just turned this in. But I think I was feeling anxiety even before that. Probably it was just a reflection of my anxiety, huh?
Yes, we really have things like technical issues come up when things are not going right inside. So yeah, you know, it could have you know, triggered something with your experience with the computer.
Yes, I know that's probably true. I you know, when you're growing and stretching, some days it's, you know, moving out of your familiar area into a place of your unfamiliar, but it's better or greater. It can be interesting. Yes, yes. Well, I just want to thank you so much again. I really appreciate you being a part of the Love Journey and sharing your gifts. It is definitely something that I look forward to every morning. When I wake up on Mondays, I'm super excited because I know.
Happy Saturday. Welcome to the Daily Love Podcast.
To do what they want to do. And I look forward to Mondays because it gives a sense of inner peace for me. So thank you again so much.
And thank you for letting me be of service.
All right, we're going to get started with our today's topic. Whew. Style of the Rich, and that's the fun. Just play a little song and get started and move in, get myself centered. Now that we're on Blog Talk, I got my music, so maybe we'll play Andy Winans, The Lord's Prayer.
How they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sounded something like this. How should we pray? Here's what the Lord told us. you pray, that's how you pray, that's how you pray. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to The Love Journey. That was Annie G. Wyman. Stopping here, right here on The Love Journey, to sing the Lord's Prayer. Oh, yes, I am Janine Ingram, and thank you for tuning in this morning. We heard Arlene Cahetz bringing us in with her prayer and her meditation that absolutely centered my mind and my soul. Thank you. Thank you again, Arlene. Thank you. Thank you again, Arlene, and thank you each and every one of you for tuning in on The Lifestyles of the Rich and Not So Famous. Today we're going to talk about one of the most revenue-driven movies I know in the history of time. And we're going to talk about one of the guys behind the scenes. Ever since the debut of the first Star Wars movie in 1977, the franchise has positioned itself as arguably the most popular film franchise of all time. Fans flock to theaters every time a new movie comes out, and you can expect that when the next film, Rogue One, a Star Wars story, releases next month, which is this month, it will be no different. What makes this upcoming Star Wars film different from the others, though, is that it will be the franchise's first standalone movie. You see, the movie will likely be critiqued heavily. You see, this movie, as a result, those pulling the strings want to ensure that the film is as close to perfect as it can possibly be. But boy, did they have to pay a particular filmmaker a pretty penny to do so. And that's who we're going to talk about. And his name happens to be Tony Gilroy. He's who we're featuring on The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. He also directed the movie called Michael Clayton, and The Bourne Legacy was brought on to Rogue One during the film's reshoot over the summer. The reshoots were ordered by Disney executives who were not happy with the movie after seeing it earlier this year. Gilroy was initially brought on to help the film's director, Gareth Edwards, with different aspects of the film, such as helping to clean up dialogue, overseeing the reshoots. In exchange for his work, he received a $200,000 salary per week. Not a year, family. You didn't hear me. $200,000 per week, an amount that is standard for a writer of his caliber working on big-budget films. But listen to this, fam. But after a while, Gilroy's workload increased, which included his larger role in helping to edit the film's ending. The cost of doing business for Disney and Lucasfilm ended up being significantly more, earning Gilroy, guess what, family? A whopping $5 million in the process. Just for one job, family. What does seem like a lot of money, but taking into account the fact that Disney paid $4 billion to even buy George Lucas'
Lucasfilm back in 2012. And the first film they made after the purchase, The Force Awakens, made a whopping $2 billion. Rogue One likely won't surpass those numbers, but the people bankrolling in the film will probably get their investment back at the box office when the film debuts in theaters December 15th. Neither Gilroy or his representatives will comment on this after being asked to interview, but I tell you, can you imagine doing what you love, having the opportunity to be in a space and on one job you make $5 million. Wow, family. That's who we're featuring, Tony Gilroy. He is the director and the reshooter and editor on the reshots for the new movie that's coming out December 15th, Star Wars. What an amazing thought process to live in your gifts and to be able to exchange your gifts at that level. But even if we don't exchange our value or our gift at that level, the one thing that is possible is for us to live an abundant life. Opulence is definitely our divine right. Family, opulence is our divine right. You came in this world divinely supplied. You brought your wealth with you in the form of talent. We shouldn't be in no lack in no form. We should be rich in our outward manifestation as well as inward, because poverty is a form of hell caused by our blindness to God's unlimited good for us. You see, the word opulence means wealth, riches, abundance. And if we're created in the image of the Creator who created all things, then we should be living opulently in this lavish universe that has been provided for us. I was speaking to a guy I decided to call the other day. I said, you know, I knew he was making a pretty nice dollar. And so I gave him a call and I said, how you doing? His name is Robert. What's going on? He said, good. He said, I'm moving on up. I said, so what you doing now? So, you know, last time I talked to him, he was making $250,000 a month. And he was on his way down to Tennessee to speak at a Baptist church in Memphis. So we were talking about money. And he was like, Denise, if you need anything, just call me. I mean it. I said, oh, well, I need something, but it's not money. He said, wait, let me say it again. If you need anything, I mean anything, just call me. I said, well, I need to know how you make $250,000 a month, how you position yourself to even make that kind of money, right? He said, Janine, when we are not living in our most divine self. Now, he's a Baptist diehard, similar to the sanctified kind of church-going man. But he said something that really threw me for a loop in terms of him being him, because I'm just used to him being, you know, that diehard Baptist guy. He said, people think of sin in many ways, but they don't even understand we live in sin when we live in poverty. I looked at the phone. I said, whoa. You know, that's just not something that I remember growing up in, you know, Baptist and sanctified, and, you know, it was almost virtuous to be proud in a poverty situation. He said, it's a sin to live in lack. But let me just tell you what was even more interesting about the idea of being a sin living in lack. He said, but the most important thing is we're not living our optimum expression of God. How you going to walk around here expressing God, saying you love God, but you expressing lack, dis-ease, discomfort, unhappiness, sadness? I had to look at the phone again. Like, whoo. And I said to myself, if money is energy and money is the inner game, and lack and poverty is a sin,
Where did we get disconnected from the idea that we were supposed to be abundant when we came to the planet? Where did the disconnection happen? So, you know, again, I told you God told me to go back to the basics, because it's like you ever get a new piece of furniture and you have to put it together and you have to read the instructions. And you read the instructions, you put everything together, but something's just not quite right. It's a little shaky, and then you have to go back to see where you missed something. So when I think about the basis, I think about where I come from. I come from a sanctified Baptist background, Catholic church too, going to Catholic school. What in the basics of understanding was left out in the idea that there's, we're not supposed to experience lack? Not if we're expressing our highest and most optimum God self. Where did we forget the remembrance that we were born to be rich? Where in our remembrance did we forget that money and love, relationships, careers, all those things we get to choose? Why are we choosing to be in a rat race? Saturday I was in an all-day training, and it was unbelievable. The speakers were awesome. And a lot of them were young, 30 and 29, 27, making $100,000 a month, $200,000 a month, $50,000 a month. And this 27-year-old said, when we get in alignment with our true self, then money will flow and overtake us. And he was 27 years old. A lot of them, quite a few were young African-American guys. Interesting, they didn't have any real ladies on that stage. And so when the one guy talked about money has a lot to do with how you value yourself. Now, this is a powerful statement. He said, your self-worth will equal your net worth, but your net worth could never equal your set worth, your self-worth. Let me say it again. Your self-worth equals your net worth, but your net worth will never equal your self-worth. Meaning when we begin to value ourselves, we will begin to upgrade our net worth, but no amount of money can ever equal up to what we truly are worth. So I said to myself, oh, let me in on the stage. I wonder, is it that women have more problems seeing the value of who they are than men? Fight for equality, we fight for all these things, but is the fact that we don't, well, because they say for every dollar every man earns, we earn 75 cents or 80 cents. Is it because we don't recognize our own value? Is it because we are not seeing the value we bring to the table as women? Because everybody who got up there and spoke said one thing and one thing in common in different ways. All of them making millions of dollars, living in freedom and fulfillment. The interesting thing, they said that money was an inner game in some way, form, or fashion. It was all about the inner energy. So if money is energy, money is an inner thought process, then where are we missing the mark? And when you think of sin, that's what sin is. Sin, in the archery term, in back in the day, was just missing the mark. When you think about our gifts and our talents, there's a treasure house stored in us. What is it that keeps us from making the move from here to there? Each one of them said, I'm not special. Each one of them said I had to overcome my fear. Each one of them said that I had to figure out that I had to ask everybody everything that I, for what I needed, because it's about relationships. So how do we develop, first, our own inner relationship to move us from where we are to where we want to be, whether our lack shows up in disease in the body, disharmony in relationship, lack in financial substance, lack in whatever area. There's no reason we should be experiencing any kind of lack, no matter what that lack is, lack in full health, wealth, relationship, however that lack show up. So today we're going to talk about that. We're going to think about it. How does money trigger you? Is it a topic that can really, does it set you off? Do you find yourself getting triggered, getting upset? If you're getting triggered, start to notice why. Why am I getting triggered when it comes to money? Money is a very powerful topic, and when you get in alignment with relationship with money, massive opportunities open up in your life. And this is not about being a millionaire or a billionaire. This is just about having an empowered relationship with money. Because to live a fulfilled life doesn't necessarily mean that you need or desire or want to have to be a millionaire or any of that. But to live a life where money is not a concern. You decide you want to go to Hawaii. You don't have to manifest the money. Money is just there making interest in your bank account. And you say, okay, let me write a check because I desire to do that. And that don't mean you're a millionaire or billionaire, but you have just positioned yourself where money is not a concern for you. And that's what really this is all about. In order for us to do this, the first thing we have to do is really question, what is money? What is money? Well, money specifically is, all it is energy. So how in the world could you never not have enough energy? Because there's more than enough energy in the universe. And so if money is just as simple as energy, another form of vibratory energy, another form of molecules vibrating at a different rate, then what rate do I have to vibrate in order to vibrate more than enough into my account in this right now moment? See, because what money is energy. And money represents energy in exchange of value. And in life, there are transactions. We transact energy. We transact money. We exchange money for some type of value. That value might be creating retreats and bringing people on retreats and exchanging information to empower them in a retreat. Or the value might be purchasing clothing, or you might have just written a book, or you might be exchanging for food or airplane tickets. It might be giving a gift to some, but there's a mutual exchange of value and of energy in every transaction. So if we built up money stories or money paradigms, we were told by someone, oh, when we were growing up, money don't grow on trees. We live in a scarce universe. You got to work really hard. And you know, the better you really got to ask yourself, what's my money story? So what do you think about money? Or maybe not having enough money. What are the stories that you tell yourself about why you don't have it? Maybe teachers aren't not supposed to. All right, there we go. We're here again. All right, family, we're back together again. And we're going to get finish up and pray that this is the last technical difficulty. Okay, we were in the middle of talking about our money energy. So here's the spiritual truth. We do live really in an abundant universe. And I know we hear that over and over again. We hear it over and over again. We live in a universe where there is more than enough. We will never run out of air. We can even try to go to the beach and count how many pebbles are in the sand. We live in a truly abundant universe where energy ebbs and flows, and then we have
to be able to open ourselves up to receive money if we want to be able to get paid well for our services. We hear the whole thing. We got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. The other thing is that we want to be able to be in a structure and a system and a dynamic that allows us to be abundantly compensated for the value that we bring into the world. Now your definition of abundance and someone else watching you may have a different definition. But as long as you have more than enough to go around, that's what abundance is. And when you have enough, you know, money at the end of the month, instead of month at the end of the money, you know, we start to be in that flow. So it really gets down to what story, what limiting beliefs, what limiting story am I telling myself? Why am I not having what I want? What's the underlying emotion? How is this fueling my inability to receive? I can't receive it. I'm not worth it. I'm not valuable enough. And then on top of it, how can I add proper value to the world? Because profit and money in exchange, really, profit is a byproduct from adding value to the world. But even when we talk about that, when I watch those guys walk across the stage, and I ask myself, well, where are the women? Maybe it just happened to be that's how they found the people for this particular seminar. These guys were making, and I'm sure some women doing some phenomenal things. But I said to myself, is it not enough of us? Is it that we don't find value in ourselves? Is it still that we're saying to ourselves we're not good enough? When you think about cosmetic surgery, And I'm not against cosmetic surgery. Please trust and believe. I'm not against it in no shape, form, or fashion. But this guy made a point on the stage, what I thought was interesting. It's a billion-dollar industry filled with majority of women. Again, I'm not against cosmetic surgery, especially for people who want to do it for enhancement and not from a place of not good enough. And maybe in some small form, I'm not against it because maybe whatever reasons. But at the end of the day, when he made the analogy, it's a billion-dollar industry filled with a lot of women. And maybe I'm justifying, I don't know. He said it's filled with a lot of women who don't find value in themselves. I was like, wow. So just so that we don't get caught up in the cosmetic surgery things, that was his example, and I just used it. Because when I look at some extreme cases of women who have had, and I take Little Kim as an example, where Little Kim don't even look like herself anymore. It wasn't about enhancing. It was about changing her whole physical being, her color of her skin, her nose, her cheeks, and everything. And I'm not judging the process, but what I am saying is, according to his statistics, there are more women like that than just total about enhancing. So what is it that keeps us, and I'm sure it's just not women. I'm just saying this was the statistics and it was the conversation. What keeps us in not enough energy? What keeps us in an energetic expression that says that I'm not enough, so I got to constantly fix? Because even when we think about exchanging value, just because you are means you're valuable enough. Just being you is valuable enough without changing, without fixing, because, you know, we get on these calls, oh, we got to fix, we got to heal, you already are enough. You are already perfect, whole, and complete. And sometimes I wonder if we just get too caught up in all that stuff and just don't breathe and just know that we are valuable enough just the way we are. So I asked myself, what is the real reason why we're not expressing? Now, let me tell you this. What's interesting is when you sit and talk to some of the people, now this might be a judgment, and I forgive myself if it is a judgment, But when I listen to a lot of the people who make $300,000, $1 million a year, they're not very intellectual people. They're not people who, not most of them, you know, some of them may be, you know, but it's, and I wonder if it's just simply when you just don't know that it's easier to get in there and do, because maybe when you know too doggone much, it stops you from really allowing yourself to do what you need to do, to be where you need to be, and allow yourself to come into the space in alignment where you can actually flow with the universe, where money is flowing, fun is flowing, relationships and all the things are going well. Maybe we didn't got too intellectually caught up that we think we know. So I went back to the basics and said, God, whatever I know, I want to let go of even what I know, even what I think I know, and what I know, and just get back to the place of zero and feel me and teach me and be coachable enough to allow myself to flow into the places and where I want to be. Maybe we just know too much, family. Maybe we're so caught up in what we think we know that we're not able to allow ourselves to vibrate and flow in the places where money can just flow into our life. So let's get really clear. How do we really add value? We came to the world with everything we need, desire, and want. What is your value that you're sharing with the world? Is it your coaching practice? Are you a teacher? Are you providing a service? And how then can you take that value that you want to add to the world, put yourself inside a structure that allows you to be properly compensated for that value that you bring into the world? And then how can you take a look at your money stories and limiting emotions to keep money out? What are you doing? What is the stories? What is the limiting emotions that keep money out? So I'll give you an example. Somebody invited me to a gifting circle. So I did it. I went on and put it because, you know, it was interesting and brushing. So in Friday, I sent them my $100 Friday night. And I was talking to somebody. I was, like, telling them what happened. And while we was talking, $300 had popped up on my account. And before you know it, I was listening to her, and she was telling me, oh, you in that pyramid again. And I could immediately feel my emotions and everything starting to take off. And then nothing else come in until the next day. And so I had to pray my own money emotions all day Saturday on my way to this seminar from 9 in the morning to 9 at night, being in the seminar all day. When I got out, I prayed. I was praying over my money. I was praying over my energy, praying over my body, just praying to not be in that fearful space. Do you know when I got out of class, $1,600 was in my account? But I say that to say this. It took me moving past my energy and my body. It took me moving past my own energetic expression. But what I learned from that day, from that moment when I was going to sleep that night, is that there were still some things that I had not forgiven myself in the process when I had a mortgage company and went through the FBI process and going back and forth to court. Because I felt triggered by her comment of it being a scam and illegal and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, and I felt this energy. And then I started feeling this trigger, and I said, oh, There goes a money trigger right there, Janine. You got to heal that. You got to heal that. Now, I did absolutely nothing. All I did was put $100 in, and next thing you know, I came back out of class on Saturday night with $1,600 in my account. But what I'm saying, family, is this. We got to cleanse these sales. We got to cleanse our money energy because our body remembers. There, you know, as soon as she triggered my money energy, I started feeling my body feeling this tenseness, and I started feeling this anxiety, and I started feeling all kind of crazy stuff in my body. It's like, wow. If you don't pay attention to yourself, you think you're positive, you think you're doing all this stuff, you know, speaking these affirmations, but you still got to watch the emotional process that happens and that triggers in your cells, in your muscle fibers, in your very organs. And if you don't be careful, it'll cause to stress and it'll cause blockages in your energy form. I sat there before I even entered the doggone gifting thing. I was watching how everybody, people that didn't even know each other, loved and sending love and was helping each other. People they didn't even know. They was inviting people. And the flow was going. People was getting money within 3 to 4 hours. It was just so interesting to watch. I've never seen in the whole time of my life people be so amazing toward each other who didn't ever seen or met or didn't even know each other. Just met on this Facebook thing. So let me tell you what's interesting. So after praying over myself for Saturday, I walk in to the event, and they couldn't find where I had purchased my ticket. So I looked on my credit card. It didn't charge. I thought, oh, wow, maybe something happened. So I was going to buy it, but it was going to cost more. A lady walked past and said, oh, good, here, you can have my I have an extra ticket for free. So I didn't pay the ticket to get in. I said, you sure you don't want no money? I mean, she said, nope. Mm-mm. So I wanted some Starbucks. I didn't want to walk across the street to get it. I thought the Starbucks would be in the hotel, but no, it was in the across the street, and it was cold outside, snowing. I didn't want to go. So the lady said, well, you want me to bring you some Starbucks back? Yeah, I said, here's my money. She said, no, I didn't even know the lady. She said, girl, I'll just buy you one. She said, put your money back. I'm like, okay, thank you, God. So she gave me she came back with my hot chocolate. I only asked for the tiny one. I forgot what they call the Starbucks, the very tiny one. But she bought me the medium one back. And I was like, wow. I said, wow, God, this is a blessed day. Then I went to lunch at Harry Carey's. Now, anybody know Chicago Harry Carey's? So, of course, I just had me a kale salad, salmon kale salad, and I had a tea, a hot chamomile tea, and a soup. So this guy walked past. He was like, hey, Janine, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. He said, how much was your lunch? I said, I don't know. He said, well, yeah, I'm going to pay for it. And he took my ticket and paid for it. I never even looked to see what it was. And I said, wow. Now, again, you know, this was just for me praying over my money energy, praying over my body, praying over my relationship to money, praying over things that had been triggering me that I had not noticed, and even the process of myself where I had not forgiven myself for showing up in that expression. When I had my insurance company, mortgage company, and real estate, and I thought I was doing the doggone thing, and my business partner making some really interesting moves caused us to get in the FBI, and it shut everything down. But it made me feel really uncomfortable at the time because people who knew me, that I felt like they should know me. They know I don't do stuff illegal. They know I don't touch no, you know, I don't steal. I will give you before I steal. I didn't even mess with the IRS. You know, that's how I was. And I couldn't believe that people were side-eyeing me. And it made me feel really, really, really uncomfortable in that space. And I kept asking God, why am I here? Well, then I understood why I was there, but it triggered having this conversation on Friday that I hadn't even forgiven myself for that process, still holding on to. Okay, no, I don't want to get, or I don't want to ask, or I don't want to put myself in this position, or I don't want, you know what I'm saying? And so I had to really, really dig in there. I promise you, if you ask the universe to reveal yourself to yourself, you'll find out things that's hidden in the crevices of your mind, in the crevices of your body, in the crevices of your cell memory pattern that truly need to be up and out. And so as I'm purging the memories of my childhood, not wanting to ask for things, and next thing you know, having my own business, creating this $400,000 or $500,000 a year salary, living life out of my eating, all super excited because, you know, I'm driving a car, I won't have these things, but I'm super working hard for it to bring it to an end because I choose to be in a business relationship with someone who is not that integrity. But I can't say that I didn't know he wasn't. But I didn't really care because I knew he was a hustler and I knew he knew how to make money, so that was my only concern. But see, what I learned in that, that the people we hang around, see, my grandmother used to say, when you go to bed with dogs, you get up with fleas. I really didn't understand that term again. You know, you go to bed with dogs, you get up with fleas. I thought I could, you know, be in a business relationship or be in bed with a guy, not literally in the bed, y'all. I mean in business relationship. But I didn't think I was going to get up with no fleas, but I did. Because I knew that he didn't always do things intended. I knew that he didn't operate like that. But being 20-something years old, those things didn't bother me because that was him doing it. That wasn't me. But I was reaping the benefits of his unintegrity process, which led me down the road that caused me to get caught up in something that I didn't even do. But yet, I didn't want to, you know, I felt like I was being wrong. So I had to forgive all of that process over this weekend so that I could move out of my money energy and triggers that was going on. Am I there? I don't know yet, but I'm still working on it. But I'm telling you, family, when you ask yourself to reveal yourself to yourself, you'll be surprised what you're still holding on to. Even Friday, looking at, you know, doing an exercise conversation with myself, I realized that I had to learn to be a better receiver. I had to learn to ask for support. And I had to remove this invisible block that I had placed in front of myself because I felt like, well, I only want to let people in this much. You know, because I grew up in an environment that said everything that goes on in your home, stay in your home. Everybody ain't got to know your business. They ain't even supposed to know your business. They ain't supposed to see you weep. They ain't supposed to see you cry. Well, I'm growing out of those old adages that's keeping me from living my highest and best self, family. Today, sit with yourself and ask yourself to reveal yourself to yourself. That's what this is all about, so that we can grow into the place of abundance, that we truly came to the planet to live opulently. Opulently. That word just feels good coming from my lips, opulently. I tell you, family, it is interesting to walk in the energy of people who are making that money and doing the life that they want. And it's not just about making the money, but living a life from a full played-out perspective, traveling the world, great relationships, doing the things they want to do, having fun doing it. Because, see, I want to experience the exchange of money and more than enough money coming into my expense, but I don't want to work from the sun up to sundown. I don't want to get up in the dark and go to bed when it's dark and I ain't seen the light of day and I'm not enjoying my process. You see, I want to create experiences in my life that I could remember saying, whew, and I enjoyed. That's the kind of opulence that I'm moving into. And so, family, I invite you today to really work on healing everything in your heart, healing everything in your inner self. Because I don't care what we do in life. I don't care what kind of MLM you choose to be in or whether you don't choose to be in or whether you are in or not in, whatever business you decide to exchange for your values, it's all an inner game. It's all inside. Money is an inside energetic expression. Love, relationship, healing your body from some kind of disease, it's all inner work. When we give our power over to people outside ourselves and we don't stop to listen. So let me just tell you. So, let's see, Thursday, Wednesday. Yep, Wednesday. My girlfriend that I grew up with, we've been friends since we were 15, 16 years old. She called me. She was having surgery. I told her I'm going to come to the hospital on Wednesday. Wednesday morning, I go to the hospital with her. I'm sitting with her mom. I love her mom. I adore her. They call her mom after she goes into surgery and said, when her mom came back, I knew something wasn't right. She said that the girl had experienced 2 seizures, full-blown seizures, so they couldn't do the surgery. They want to know why she had these seizures, and she's never had seizures before. So when she wake up, I go in and in the ICU room talking to her. She's up, and she don't even remember having the seizures or anything, and she's feeling good. She's a little disappointed that she didn't have the surgery. So I said, well, why don't we try some alternatives since they're going to reschedule the surgery? I told her about this Chinese doctor that's in Chinatown that I know that has healed many, many of my friends who've gone there. And she said, you know, it's interesting. I went to the bar last night and I met a guy who had prostate cancer. And he said he was like a 6. And he went to this Chinese doctor himself. And his testimony was that when he went back after going to taking the medicine that the Chinese doctor had given him, he was at a 0. So I said, oh, well, we should go to the Chinese doctor as soon as after you get home, maybe get a little rest, and maybe today, which is Monday, we should go to the doctor, we Chinese doctor. So I called her Friday when she got home. I said, you want to go to the Chinese doctor on Monday? She said, well, they rescheduled my appointment for the 13th. I said, don't you think it's funny that the night before you had your surgery, you talk to a guy, he tell you about a Chinese doctor. You go in for surgery, you get 2 full-blown seizures that prevent you from having the surgery. I come in the room and I tell you about the same kind of doctor. I don't know if it's the same doctor he went to, but similar situation. And you don't want to at least just see if this is a sign that God is telling you. See, family, this is what I want to show you. And there's signs. People tell me all the time that God don't talk to you. Oh, God don't talk to me, Janine. That's because you thinking that God gonna talk to you the way you think God should talk to you. But God talks to us in signs. He may send somebody, hey, good morning. He may send somebody to tell you something, and then somebody else to come back and give you a confirmation that don't even know each other, like this situation. It may come to you in a song. It may come to you in a book. It may come to you in an idea. It may come to you in your own mind. It may come in a little child's voice. But we don't pay attention to the signs, family. Family, what is God trying to tell you that you are ignoring the signs on? Why are you giving your power to everything outside yourself and not going within? If you haven't an experience in the body of this ease, why are you not sitting with yourself asking yourself, what is it that I must do to heal my body? And ask for a sign so clear, so definite that you can't make a mistake. If you're experiencing lacking your money, what is it that I must do that's causing me to have this block in this experience right now? What is it that I must learn? What is it that I must do differently? Family, we got to learn to talk, ask, and go within. And then we got to let go of the knowing that we think we know if we're not experiencing, because life is a demonstration of our belief system. Whether you tell me you don't believe in lack or not, but if you're experiencing lack somewhere, you believe in lack. If you having disharmony in your relationship somewhere, you believe in lack, because your life is a demonstration of what your belief systems are. If you believe in an abundant experience, you will be having an abundant experience somewhere. There's a belief system that needs to be changed inside, because your life is a demonstration of your belief system. Whether it's conscious or unconscious, you can talk a good game, but if you're not walking it, then you're not living it. And if you're not living it, it's all about what you believe. It's all about, you just live. You're telling us something, but you're not absolutely doing what you say you're doing. Because if you were, you would be demonstrating it. Family, what is our belief systems that need to be changed today? What is in our consciousness? What is in the awareness? What is in the behavior system? What is in the cells of your body? What is enlarged in your in the very essence of your organs that cause you not to live the experience that you truly want to live, whether it's in relationship, whether it's in a physical health, whether it's in your finances, or whether it's in all of them. I just got to the point where I said, God, just fill all the stony parts of my life to the brim. You know, when Jesus was at the wedding and he asked them to take all the stony pots and fill them to the brim with water so he could turn the water into wine, that's my quest. I say, God, just take all these stony pots that's not filled to the brim and fill them to the brim today, Holy Spirit, that I may experience true abundance on the planet. How does a God goddess walk the planet? How is it that I'm a goddess? How is it that you're a God? How is it that you're a goddess and you're not exemplifying the example of the individualized expression of your God goddess energy on the planet? Now, the Bible says, ye are God. So if you're a God, how does a God walk the planet? Jesus said we can do what he did and more and greater. Why are we not turning our own waters into wine? And our water could be disease in our body. Our water could be our financial. Our water could be our career. Our water could be anything that is experiencing something that we no longer want, and we want to experience it in a physical level. What is the water that needs to be turned into the wine experience so that you can live that opulent life? What is the belief system that you claim you don't have but you gotta have in order to be experiencing it? That's the question. And what are you going to do about it so that you don't go into the same problem with the same mindset trying to create a new situation? You can't do it. Albert Einstein said you can't fix a problem or a situation or change something with the same mindset that caused it. That means that whatever's causing you to have the mindset and the experience you have right now, you got to change that mindset. Family, we got to do the work. I'm telling you, we got to do the work. Tony Robbins, listening to his coaching process, check this out. He said, I only take 4 clients a year. 4 clients a year. And they each pay him $1 million to coach. I was listening to a lady named Naomi, or Naoma, or whatever, some name like that. And she said, I want to teach coaches how to update wealth consciousness. She said, I want to teach you how to get one client for $100,000. She said, when she first heard that, it scared her. She said, it simply scared me. Because I didn't believe that I could get one client, one coaching client, to pay me $100,000. I was like, wow. And now today, the first time she got her one client to give her $10,000, it scared her, S-H-I-T-L-E-S-S, she said. But I tell you, and we're going to go ahead and anybody have any questions, comments, concerns? I don't even know where the phone hung up at. I guess I was gone into a phase. But if anybody have any questions, comments, concerns, we can come in and then we're going to end it. Because this is interesting how the phone keeps cutting off. I don't know. I want to thank you for being patient with me today with this technology.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Hey, I just want to know, can we continue this tomorrow? I know we will have far better results because I got questions and comments.
We can continue tomorrow, and if you got questions and comments you want to ask, let's do it. And let's just do it till we can't do it no more, baby.
Okay. Well, my comment about why we don't see our worth as women, I know it's because we don't go inside. We go to everything else, others. And so we don't spend time. That's why I'm here on this line, learning how to go inside and learn who I am, what matters to me. and the conversation about money, that's just it. We don't even think about what we're doing has value, that we should receive compensation, just what we do. And I want us to get to this root of it and get it gone, because we are invaluable. Opulence is mine, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Claudette. Opulence. When I think of the word opulent, I think of you and your sister home, because I imagine it being an opulent, beautiful waterfront property.
Yes, yes. We're going to have it, y'all. It's coming. Opulently and abundantly. Thank you.
Yes. Anybody else with a comment, question, or concern? I just want to say that I really pray diligently throughout the day and for each and every one of us. I pray that our money sustenance, I pray that our relationships, I pray over our health. I pray some of you all that I know have experienced in some cities, or spirit come to me and bring your name, I pray over you and I ask God to heal and to reveal. Because listening to Ayana this weekend as I was driving, the seminar I went to was an hour away, so I just listened to Ayana Vincent, and she said, there's nothing really to heal. When something comes up to heal, whether it's our money, whether it's our body, it's really about revealing. So I learned to ask God to reveal to me what needs to be revealed to me in order that I may move into another space. So now my prayers have been different for you, family. I ask God to reveal to you, because there's nothing to heal, just to be revealed. What is it that God needs to be revealing to you so that you can live an opulent, holistic life? And I'm not just talking about in money. I'm talking about in every way, family. Time, fulfillment, freedom, love, career, money, everything, because we deserve it. And we deserve it to be the highest example of what God is on the planet, because we know better. If you come into the love journey, we all know better. And I'm saying Janine knows better. I'm not saying you pointing fingers. I'm pointing fingers at myself, because that's the only person I can point fingers at. I know better. You know better. We know better. It's time. There is no reason that we're not experiencing a sister home. It's no reason we're not experiencing a Love Journey Institute with all kinds of things going on. There's no reason books are not written. There's no reason we're all not making $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a month, whatever our desire and more is. There's no reason we're not experiencing this Ephesians 3:20 experience. More and abundantly more than we can ever think, ask, or imagine. It's all throughout the promises in the Word. It is He that gives thee the power to give wealth. It is He that gives richly all things. I will give you a house you didn't build. Give me that house, Holy Spirit. I'll give you land that you didn't dig or toil or work for. Well, where's my land, God? I'll give you an oil rig. That was the word that came to me when I was laid off from my $100,000+ job. I didn't understand it when the scripture kept coming in my mind. But God was telling me, I'm calling you higher. See, you crying over a job that was $100,000+ a year, but what I'm about to do for you, if you open your consciousness, if you decide to stop looking in the rearview mirror and see that I got something bigger and better for you. But see, I was so caught up in my $100,000+ a year job. I wasn't ready to be uncomfortable to get comfortable. I didn't want to go through no wilderness experience. I didn't want to get on this line and teach prosperity and not walk the walk. I said, God, how am I getting on that line teaching prosperity and I don't even got a dime coming in, God? God said, well, who is your source? And then I cut on the TV one day, which I hardly ever do. And Ayana Benzon said, you got to teach what you got to learn. I said, so I got to stand up before these people and tell people that you're good and not experience it. I said, I ain't going to be able to do that, God. God said, oh, you'll do it. And God sure is absolutely right. No matter what I experienced, I got up every day. So now, family, I went to sleep and God said, it's time for us. We at the burning bush and we got to take off our shoes. God told me to get back to the basics. And the basics was getting back to knowing nothing so I could be open to learning something new. Tell me, and you too. See, we got to let go of what we thought we know, and even if it worked. I say it again. Moses went through, and the people was getting on his nerves. They was thirsty. He struck the rock and gave them water, but God told him the second time to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock. God said, no, that ain't what I told you to do. God said, I ain't telling you to do what you used to do. It's time for us to get a new family. We're going into a new year with a new attitude, with a new mindset. Time to uplift our communities. And in order to do that, we have to uplift ourselves. We got to raise our own consciousness. Tell me prayer don't work. See, the Native Americans got some that we really need to think about. That pipeline has been shifted and going in another direction. Tell me my God ain't good. Tell me prayer don't work. And they didn't tear up stuff. And, you know, even no matter how much they blew what they did, the Native Americans stood strong, baby. They weren't letting that happen. Some of them got hurt in the process. But I tell you, it's powerful when we stand in solidarity. So with that being said, I just want to say to you, look, I'm Rosa, want to say something. It's time for a change. Okay, Rosa, you in. Rosa? Okay, maybe Rosa don't want to say nothing. She raised her hand.
No. I'm multitasking as usual. You know, I was listening partially and picked up here and there, but you said a boatload of good things. But one of the things that I really wanted to remote to or to put into consciousness, you know, we are a community on a love journey that assists and share and learn and help and just do things because we love. You know, this community is amazing. And I wanted to actually say to the new community that we experienced over the weekend, it was amazing.
Yes, it was.
My leader, or my the main pastor, Reverend Sylvia, from Unity, talked about this. You know, confirmation is amazing. And I know I'm jumping all over. But this weekend was a weekend of confirmation that people can be in community and bless folks in amazing ways. You know, we as black folks have pretty much gotten away from the fact that we're here to serve and help each other. You know, I remember when I was growing up in our community, if you didn't have a cup of sugar, you could go next door and get all the sugar you needed. Or if you didn't have milk or diapers or whatever you needed to survive, your neighbors in your community assist you. You know, I remember, and I come from many different kinds of communities. But I remember when people who made money, even the ones who made money illegally, hustlers, I've seen my friends who were doing that pay for colleges, tuitions, funerals, bought food for the grandmamas who didn't have it, took the kids to the school if somebody couldn't get there. You know, community. And this is like in the 30s and in the 20s. We stuck together for each other because we had no place else to go. We couldn't go to the banks. We couldn't go to the government. They didn't have those kinds of things. We depended on each other for survival. And in this day and age, especially with the new administration coming up and all the questions that people have, this is the time to come back together, to assist each other to become financially, emotionally, and spiritually stronger by connecting. Reverend Sylvia taught that yesterday, that this is the time for true light workers, true prayer warriors, to actually be what they say they are. And in order to do all that, the first thing we have to do is forget and forgive the past. All the experiences that we may have had that didn't turn out the way we wanted them to. Or people who, I heard you say about the person that you had issues with in your heyday. And you knew who the person was, but yet and still you had faith. And that's the greatest thing. You had love. You understood, even though you knew who they were. Spirit told you. But you still stepped forward. And sometimes that's what happens. But you have to forgive, you have to love, and you have to move forward, and you have to take faith again. You know, I was in the whole, this is amazing mode this weekend, you know, because I too saw amazing things happen just by blessing somebody else. Just by blessing somebody else. And that's where we have to, in order to survive and to succeed to our fullest potential, need to accept the help and do the work. And so this has been an amazing conversation. God always lets you hear what you need to hear and receive what you need to receive if you're open to it. So let's be open. Let's have faith. Let's share and love and lift somebody else up, you know, because that's what it's going to take for us to move into a more opulent place. I love that word, too. The first time I heard it was from Claudette. But I heard opulence from her. That was the very first time I had ever heard that word, and it was years ago. I said, ooh, it even sounds good when you say it off your tongue. Opulence. It's like a song. I love that word. So maybe we move into opulence in 2017. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I am complete, as my sister Claudia always says. I am complete.
All right.
Join us, folks. Join us. You will never be the same.
Let me.
Wake up.
And smile. All right. Thank you so much, Rosa J. We're going to listen to this motivation and call Unstoppable. And then we're going to get out of here.
So you thought it was the end of the story. You thought that one single event, that one single moment was enough for him to stand amongst the great. Sleep. I don't sleep. You thought that was it? Well, you thought it was over. Well, it's just getting started. This is the part where you reinvent yourself. It's time to get tested, to test your will, your endurance. It's time to test your heart, to test your lips. It's about no days off, no weekends, no holidays, no birthdays. Listen to me, no days off. It's about gaining the competitive edge. You can't afford to make excuses. No excuses.
in your feeling. And all you want to do is give up. And all you want to do is give in. When you feel like you've given all you got, you got to take one more step. You got to run one more lap. You got to throw one more punch until you reach the top.
What? I don't know.
What do you fear?
You know what? This is your beginning, but this doesn't have to be your end.
Get off the ground.
You can't do nothing without faith. You are still special.
Is this beyond our reach?
I'm not afraid. I'm angry.
You can't give in!
Behind every fear is a person you want to be. Fear is self-imposed, meaning it doesn't exist. You create it, you can destroy it. Face your fears, you become the person you want to be. You run from your fears, you're not living. You're alive, but you're not dead.
The freedom, you're not running day. Day's running you.
We all fall down in life. The question is, who gets back up?
You don't owe these people anymore. You've given them everything.
Not everything. Not yet. See, now what have to become to stop men
Thank
like
you,
him? If you make yourself more than just a man, if you devote yourself to an ideal, if they can't stop you, you become something else entirely. Legend.
You go after and you give it all you have. If you lose, at least you try, man. I failed. It's 10 times more of a man than someone says, what if? Because what if never went to the arena?
That's called courage. Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.
Think something's wrong, maybe it's time to stop. No, it's time to move even further.
Mentally, you must believe it before you physically start.
I choose to rise. I choose to live, not die.
Today will be that day. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now, right here. Belief will change my world. History will remember me. I will define myself. I will never go out. Not long I've given everything I've got. Because who am I? I am the champion.
I choose to fight back.
Unstoppable, family. We got to be unstoppable. Let's listen to us a Christmas song. Y'all know I love Christmas. Oh, will you be mine for Christmas, family? Will you be mine? Will you be mine? I want you to be mine for Christmas. This is Kim, family. Will you be mine? Kim and Lettucey. And it's on his Christmas CD.
Go outside and play in the snow. I can be a little fire, we can
break it down like Eskimos. Simply stated, there's no place I'd rather be. It's Christmas time for you and me, girl. Spread love, peace, and joy throughout the world. While every little boy is trying to find something for his favorite girl. Yes, baby, your Santa Claus is on his way. He'll be keeping you satisfied Christmas Day. What can I do to make your dreams come true for Christmas? Can I bring to make your heart sing so you'll be mine for Christmas? Mm-hmm. Have a Merry Christmas, babe. Hey, girl.
There'll be jingle bells for you and me. We'll snuggle by the Christmas tree, a celebration of green and gold. We'll sing along to Nat King Cole. Good tidings to all and to all good cheer. I just wanna know my baby's here, keeping me warm all through the night. Yeah, I've got an angel by my side. What can I do to make your dreams come true for Christmas? I bring to make your heart sing tonight so you will be mine.
Christmas is finally here.
I'll be yours any time of the year.
And I would do anything.
All I want is the joy you bring.
I'll give you my heart wrapped up in a bow. La 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 la, all the way we go, girl. It's Christmas when I'm loving you, yeah.
What can I do,
hey,
to make your dreams come true for Christmas?
Be mine for Christmas.
Ooh.
What can I bring you, girl?
Oh.
I wanna make your dreams come true. So you'll be mine.
I wanna be yours.
Will you be mine, babe?
Yes, be mine.
Oh, for Christmas.
Yeah.
Hey, be mine for Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas, girl.
You
think you're bad, don't you? I know you do.
You said anything?
Girl, I'd give you anything.
Be mine.
Be mine. All right, family, we made it through without no technical problems. We have a great day. I see you in the morning, family. Talk to you later. Love you. Remember, your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice, family. And remember to dream your God-sized dreams, family, and live them. Have fun doing them, family. It's about having fun, living life, enjoying it, learning through the process.